I am so convinced that revival is on its way. I am so convinced that God is going to raise up such a powerful church, one that the world has never seen. I am so convinced that the glory of the Lord will cover the nations, that every nation will have a revival. There will be a revival in Cuba. There will be a revival in Russia. There will be a revival in Saudi Arabia. There will be a revival in Lebanon. There will be a revival in China. There will be a revival in Zimbabwe. Every place in the world is going to experience a powerful revival. These are not my ideas. This is canonized. This is the word of the Lord. So what kind of people should we be? We need eyes to see beyond the present forest. We need eyes to see over the horizon into the plans and purposes of God. We need to know what kind of people we are called to be and how we need to be trained for that which is coming. You don't want to wait until something happens and then say, now, how do we prepare? You want to be anticipating the move of the Holy Spirit. So I want to speak to you about the strong tower. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse 10. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Let's read it together. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Say the words, run to it. There's a day coming when the nations will run to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We open our hearts for the excitement of the Holy Spirit that comes by the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, we ask that you would bring change to us now and teach us your ways. I ask it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The name of the Lord is the focus of this verse. It's a strong tower. It is the name of the Lord is a place of safety. It's a place of protection. It's a place where you can come to find answers when there are no answers. But the name of the Lord isn't only somewhere up in heaven. The Bible says that we are all called by his name. And that if you walk by faith and if you walk in the purposes of the Lord, that God himself will write his name on you. He will give you a new name. He will give you the name of his Son and of the Father. He will write it on your forehead. That's what the Bible says. You are the people of God. You are the people who have his name. So when we say the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run to it and are safe, we need to understand that it's not just about God having that name. You also have that name. Do you understand that the strong tower is another picture of the end time church of Jesus Christ? And we don't have a strong tower where people can get saved and where people can come for refuge and where people can come for answers and for training. We don't just have a place like that because we're nice people. We don't just have that because we're smart people or because we're gifted or talented people. We have that strong tower because we have the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In the name of Jesus, every demon shall flee. At the name of Jesus, every sickness must be healed. At the name of Jesus, marriages will be healed. At the name of Jesus, the whole world will be turned upside down. It will happen. It's non-negotiable. At the name of Jesus. I said just a couple of weeks ago in my sermon that the United States of America is a Jonah nation. Jonah had a powerful call of God, but he ran away from the call of God when he was told to go and preach in Nineveh, and he fell asleep in the boat. The United States of America has a powerful call of God on this nation from its inception. An amazing call of God. This is what I call the end time nation. But right now, just like Jonah, America is running away from God and is asleep in the boat. And God's about to start to send the big storm. Judgment and calamity will come to America. But it will lead the people to repentance. Like what happened with Jonah in the belly of a great fish. And then God rescued him. And he became the most powerful preacher besides Jesus, perhaps in the whole Bible. In 3 days, 120,000 people or so were converted and turned their hearts back to God. And the mercies of the Lord came on the city of Nineveh, who was the enemies of Israel, basically Syrian people or Persian people. And the whole place returned and had a faith unto the Lord. That's what will happen in America. Right now, America's running away from God, but judgment will come to America. And through that judgment, it will not be punitive, it will be redemptive. And what will happen is the greatest, most anointed preachers in the world will rise up from America, partner with Israel, and we will see revival in the nations. Get ready for it. As goes the church in America, so goes the church in the world. Watch what will happen. And it's time for you to be on the cutting edge. It's time for you to say, I want to be ready. I want to be trained. I want to be absolutely in position for when the trumpet sounds and the wind of the Lord comes. So that when judgment comes, you do not need to be afraid. You do not need to cower and retreat. For the Lord has given you his name. You have become a strong tower. Some of you don't realize it yet. But there's a good number of people in this church who I look to as strong towers. There are folk here who have a heart of compassion, a heart to care for younger people. I am so glad for all the senior citizens that are in this church. Other churches might see it as a negative thing. I see it as the most positive thing we could have. You need to become all that God has called you to be. You need to become those who wrap their arms around the younger ones to provide safety and security. You need to be a strong tower. We need to be the community of the strong tower, the tower of God people. Because the name of the Lord is upon us, and the day will come when the righteous, I'm not talking about any old person, but people who have a heart to be righteous will run into that strong tower and be safe. That day is coming. Now, I want to show you this in the Bible. So please open your Bibles with me. First of all, to the book of Habakkuk. So we read in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. In the King James, it says, I will station myself on the tower. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. The Lord's answer is this. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation waits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. The revelation of the Lord, what the Lord has said is coming, is definitely coming. It says, this is what the word of the Lord is. That which I've spoken to you, write it down. get up on the ramparts. Around the city, there is a wall, and on the edge of the wall are the ramparts. They're the highest places. Every so often, there's a tower or a keep. From these ramparts, the security of the city is made certain. From those ramparts, or those that tower fortress, is the viewing position to see the enemy coming. It's the place where the best soldiers must be. It's the place where the watchmen must be on the wall, where the warnings must go out to the community, where the trumpet will sound from, where the prophetic word will go forth from, where the training of the soldiers will take place, where the armaments will be fired. It's on the ramparts. That's who you are. So the scripture here says, I will take my stand on the tower, and I will look and see what the Lord has said, because it will certainly come to pass. Now, I want you to see yourself right now on this tower. No, you're not the one sitting down there in the village, knitting, having tea. You're not the one down there in the... You're the one who's up on the edge. That's why you're here. That's why you met me. Because I'm pushing you up the ladder onto the tower to be the tower people, the tower community, the people of God. Come with me now to the book of Micah. Let's see it again. In the book of Micah, find it in your Bibles, please. Micah chapter 4, and look what it says. I'm going to read one verse to you, verse 8. And then we're going to start at verse 1 and build our way up to that. Notice what it says in verse 8, Micah chapter 4. As for you, O watchtower of the flock. Who's the watchtower of the flock? You are. As for you, O watchtower of the flock, O stronghold of the daughter of Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, of course, this is talking about Israel, but it's also talking about all of God's people. So now let's go back to verse 1 of Micah chapter 4, verse 1. In the last days, say last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and people will stream to it. That means people are going to run, and they're going to come to the purposes of God and to Jerusalem in the last days. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, and they will not train for war anymore. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree. The fig tree represents Israel. The vine represents the church, because, you know, he is the vine and you are the branches, from the book of John. So every man is going to sit under one of these trees in the purposes of God, under his own vine or under his own fig tree. And no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods, but we will walk in the name of the Lord forever. Verse 6, in that day, declares the Lord, I will gather the lame. I'm going to have you just participate with me here. Say, gather the lame. I will assemble the exiles. Say, assemble the exiles. And those I have brought to grief, I will make the lame a remnant. Say, the lame will be a remnant. Those driven away by a strong nation, the Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever. As for you, O watchtower, as for you, O watchtower, as for you, O watchtower, you're a watchtower.
As for you, O watchtower of the flock, O stronghold of the daughter of Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. So you are a tower. You're a watchtower of the flock. You're a watchtower for the sheep. You see, this is the job, first of all, of a pastor. A pastor's a watchtower. He's a safety net. Too many pastors are shooting the sheep. They're up on the mountain, up on the rampart, up on the tower. They don't like something in a sheep. They shoot the sheep. You're never supposed to shoot the sheep. You're supposed to save the sheep. And I don't mean to get them saved from their initial sin so that they're going to heaven. See, this is talking about the flock. They're already sheep. They're already part of the family. But there's a need for care. Now, this isn't just the guy who's preaching. It's not just his job. Because all of you are called to be pastors. The Bible says, care for one another. Bear one another's burdens. It says that love has to go out to everyone. And you need to see this congregation as a flock that you have a responsibility for. You have to be a strong tower for the flock. What is your responsibility? Who are you going to care for? But now I want you to expand your horizons a little bit. I'm just giving you the big picture. We'll get down to the details in a bit. You need to expand your horizons because there are so many out there who are wounded, who are lame, who are exiled from the church. They've been kicked out. There's many, because of their own failure, because of their own sin even, have been excommunicated. Some have excommunicated themselves because they hate church politics. Some of the people are just so tired of church because there's nothing for them there anymore. They've heard the same message over and over again and they wonder what the purpose of it is because they already know they're going to heaven. So why should they wreck a Sunday? But you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. There's an assignment. There's a call of God on your life. You're to be a strong tower. In the last days, the Bible says, people will go to Jerusalem. The word of the Lord that the Lord has spoken, though it linger a little bit, will certainly come. So get up on the rampart. Get up on the tower. Become a strong tower. Who are you going to lead to the Lord this week? Well, start by praying for somebody. That's the best place for you to start. I challenge every one of you, before this day is finished, to ask the Lord to put somebody on your heart that you can pray for their salvation. Just begin to pray for them. Just say, Lord, I am going to pray for somebody. Because God doesn't do anything on the earth unless somebody agrees with him in prayer. Pick a real hard case. Jesus always did. God always does. He's both a commercial fisherman and a sports fisherman. He has a net and he goes after multitudes. But then he also goes after one big fish sometimes. But he always cleans his fish after he catches them. They don't have to be clean, rosy, or, you know, all set right before Jesus brings them in the boat. He brings them in sloppy and messy. So who is it that is going to run to the tower? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. The day is coming. Get ready. There's a stampede coming. There's a stampede coming. There's a revival coming to America. They're going to run into the house of the Lord because they're going to need to. It'll come in a time of judgment, a time of difficulty, a time of pain.
And you're going to be that strong tower. Not because of who you are. You're not the cat's meow. But you have the name of the Lord, and that's what makes you a strong tower. The name of the Lord has power and authority. It has answers. The name of the Lord is the solution. And you are the people of the name of the Lord. That's why you're the strong tower people. So they're going to be coming to you. Everyone? Well, not everyone. Because not everyone has a heart that wants to be righteous. See, there's four categories of people that Jesus doesn't care for. He doesn't care for child abusers. He said, "Woe unto you if you hurt one of these little ones. Be better if a millstone were tied around your neck and it were thrown into the sea." You know who else Jesus doesn't care for? Religious legalists. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, who bring your laws upon other people, and you yourself are a big mess." He says, "You're just like a whitewashed tomb full of dead man's bones." He hates legalism. You know what else Jesus doesn't like? Hypocrites. He says, "Woe unto you, hypocrites." A hypocrite isn't just somebody who falls once in a while. That's not a hypocrite. A hypocrite, the word hypocrite's a Greek word, and it actually means to be an actor. It means you pretend you are a Christian, but you have a totally different lifestyle. And you're not a Christian at all. And Jesus says, "Woe unto you, hypocrites." And there's a fourth group of people that Jesus doesn't care for. And that's those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And again, I'm not talking about those people who fight against God in their ignorance. Even Paul the Apostle, before he got converted, was killing Christians. And he says, "But God winked at it because I did it in ignorance." But a person who blasphemes the Holy Spirit is somebody who slanders the gospel, God, and Christ when they know better. And that becomes their life. You might have seen some of these people on the television. They're arrogant blasphemers of the gospel. So those are four people that Jesus doesn't care for. Child abusers, religious legalists, hypocrites, and people who make it their directive to blaspheme the holy, to blaspheme the things of God, blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But there's a lot of people in this world who are not in those four categories. In fact, most all the people in the United States are not religious legalists. They're not hypocrites. They're just sinners. They know it. They don't blaspheme God, most. And the other one? The first one. Child abusers. Most people in the United States are not child abusers. So who's going to run? All of the people who don't fit in those four categories are coming. They're coming. They're streaming to Zion. They're running to the tower. Get ready. Now, I want to get specific. I want to get very personal with you. How do you become this strong tower? What kind of person do you have to be? I'm going to share with you the greatest teaching in the Bible out past or after the resurrection. Can anybody guess what that might be? The most powerful teaching chapter for disciples, for the church, after the work of the resurrection is found in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, Jesus made it very clear. He said, there's two commandments in the Bible. And all of the law of the prophets and all of the law of Moses hang on these two things. Love God and love people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Love is the key. God is love. And so many people don't get it. So many church people don't get it. You see, because you understand that God is love doesn't mean you're loving. I have seen some real grumpy Christians. Now, I'm going to really get kind of in your face a little bit. You don't mind, do you? I'm your pastor. It's my job. I'll do it with a smile. If you're nasty to the one you're married to, there's no love there. Listen, this doesn't work to sinners if it doesn't work in your house. Don't talk to me about the love of God towards somebody far away who you can say something to and then walk away from if you're always arguing and critical and putting down the person you're married to. Told you I'd smile. So let's look at this chapter. Please don't leave till I'm finished. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that I can move a mountain but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. So here's five categories of people who are all religious people. In fact, here's four different kinds of churches. Jesus taught each one of these things. The first one, it says, if I speak with the tongue of men and of angels. So this really highlights the charismatic movement. Maybe the Pentecostal movement. I was raised in the Pentecostal church. In the church I was raised in, they said if you didn't speak in tongues, you weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. I actually don't believe that's true. I believe there's many signs that can show that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's certainly one of them. And it is the one that sticks up at the top to kind of point to say those people are Pentecostal. I remember preaching for the Pentecostal Armenian church in California. These guys are very strict. They didn't believe that you were to wear a tie because it pointed down to the devil, down to hell. They're funny people. But I didn't wear my tie when I preached to them. But they didn't speak English. And they had about 500 or 600 people in the congregation. Most of the men sat up the front. And I was brought in by an Armenian who spoke both English and Armenian. And he brought me in, and the service was just starting, and I came and sat beside this big pastor, big Armenian pastor. And he sits beside me. Oh, hello, brother. He couldn't speak English very well. And then the meeting's going on, and everyone's singing. And he says, you speak Holy Spirit language? I said, yes, yes. I speak in tongues. He says, oh, great. That's good then. So he says, so you're going to pray for the people? I said, yeah, I'll pray for the people. He said, okay, this is what we'll do. We'll go up on the stage. I'll hold your hand. We'll get on our knees. And then we'll just pray Holy Spirit language over the whole church until I say stop. So I said, great. So This was after I preached. I went and sat down, and he came up and said some things in Armenian that I didn't understand. And then he called me up, and he couldn't speak to me because there's no translator. He says, "Holy Spirit language." And then we got on our knees together, and we just started to speak in tongues. The whole church started to speak in tongues. For 30, 40 minutes, we just spoke in tongues. The power and presence of God was all over this place. Oh, my goodness. So with all the things that I thought that they did wrong, they did some things right. That's for sure. So if you speak like the Armenian Pentecostal church, but you don't have love, if you're bossy and arrogant and proud and nasty and critical and rude, it says you've got nothing. You're just a big noise, even if you speak with the tongues of angels. And then the second group there, it says, and if I have, verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy. Now there's whole church movements that pride themselves on the prophetic gift. They will train you to prophesy. Their preaching will be prophetic. They'll always be talking about what God is saying and doing in the nation, in the world, and to individuals. Is this good? Of course it's good. But you can be at the very top of the prophetic movement. Prophesy. But if you don't have love, if you're not a people person, you have missed it. That's what my Bible says. And then it says a third kind of church. And if you fathom all mystery and all knowledge. Now there's some churches that pride themselves on their academic excellence, who know how to exegete the word of God in the Hebrew and the Greek. I remember one preacher saying, "I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. Both of them live down the street. One runs a deli and the other one..." A little Greek and a little Hebrew. At any rate, there are some people who really know how to study the word of God, how to tear it apart, and how to get the doctrine right. They're still wrong, because we're not going to get it all. But they're really academic and they give themselves to it. Is this a good thing? Of course it's a good thing. Study to show yourself approved. But at the end of the day, if they have that and do not have love, it profits them nothing. And then there's another group here. Do you see them? "And if I give all I possess to the poor..." No, we missed one. "And if I have faith that I can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing." So then there's the faith movement. People who have faith, 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 faith. Faith is the best thing. Faith is the best thing. Well, the Bible doesn't say faith is the best thing. It says without it you can't please God. But it says love is the best thing. It says now abideth faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So you can be such a faith person. You can be Smith Wigglesworth and raise somebody from the dead. Even if you had the kind of faith to move a mountain. Oh, it's just a mountain, no problem. The Bible says, even if you have that kind of faith, it profits you nothing unless you have love. And then lastly, just in case I was leaving somebody out, there's another kind of church here, the social gospel church. It says, "And if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing." So Jesus, the Holy Spirit, just nails every kind of good church. Jesus taught all of these principles. All of these are good. He says you can be the tongue speakers, you can be the prophesiers. You can be the faith group, you can be the Bible doctrine academic group, and you can be the social gospel, give to the poor, help the needy church. You can be all of those or one of those kind of churches, but you can still do it and not have love.
I have met some very grumpy people working in the soup kitchen. You people line up over there. No, not like that. Line up the other way. What's the matter with you people? Were you raised in a barn or something? My goodness. No respect these days. That lady needs to get off the soup kitchen. Now she's serving. You can be a great server. You can be absolutely fantastic. But the Bible says if you don't have this thing called love moving inside of you, if you're not a people person, if you don't care for people, if you don't have mercy and compassion, if you don't have the care that Jesus had for the prostitute, for the down and out, for the children, then you missed it. Now this is the key for the strong tower people. This is the key. I don't know where your emphasis will be. You may be a person of prayer, person of powerful faith, person of miracles, person of prophecy, person of service to care for the poor. Wonderful. But you better be a person of love. Now, just so we don't get some weird idea of what love is, the Bible goes on and tells us. Let's look at it. In verse 4, it says, love is patient. That means you have to be patient with the one you're married to. Love is kind. The kindness culture. I don't like it when I'm in a home where husband or wife are tearing each other apart. There's no kindness in that. Now, obviously you're different. You see things differently. You're at cross purposes. But love is kindness. If you don't get anything else out of this, just let it be real simple. Love is kindness. It's being so kind. We have to be the kindness culture. If you're going to be a strong tower people, you have to be the people with extraordinary kindness. Sometimes there's more kindness in certain people in the world who don't even know Christ than there is in the church. This should be the place where we're just dripping with kindness and patience. So somebody falls. How many times should I forgive them, says Peter to the Lord, if somebody offends me? Seven times 70 times. In other words, you just have to have this patience and this kindness in you. This is now defining love. Perhaps the best definition that has ever been written on a piece of paper. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Now, in this church with all the ministries that are here, somebody is going to be in charge of something. In fact, I hope somebody is in charge of everything. I hope everything has somebody in charge of it so that it can be organized and more can come and be a part of it. And there should be so many pieces here of ministry that there's a lot of room for growth and leadership. But what if you are not the leader and you think you're better than the leader? What do you do? If you exercise envy, jealousy, that's not love. Even other people can come and say, you know, you could do that job better. It doesn't matter. Love says, let that person do it. Now, I'm going to use Ed Brigham and Suzanne as examples because I think they're at a league of their own in terms of leadership and prayer ministry. And I don't know anybody else in the church, maybe besides myself, who has an anointing for praying for people like them. But there's many, many anointed people here. And they lead that. In God's timing, we don't know for how long or to what extent. That's God's business. But for now, they lead it.
If you say, I want to lead it, then you have to die. Because you're not leading it. They're leading it. You have to serve with them and come under their direction and what God's doing with them. You can't bump them. Now, your area of expertise starts off with service, and then it grows and grows and grows. And there's different areas of prayer ministry. Theirs is primarily for the prayer ministry after the service on a Sunday. So love does not envy, and it doesn't boast, and it's not proud, and love is not rude. There's a whole generation that is being taught to be rude. Do you know this is true? Do you believe it? Is anybody there? Thank you. Yeah, it's in the movies. It's on our television. You can go back, I don't know how many years, when The Simpsons started. And it might sound pretty innocent and all of that, but there was an element of rudeness that started to come in. There's a rudeness towards parents and a rudeness towards husbands, a rudeness towards ladies. But love is not that. It's not cool to be rude. It's rude. So love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it doesn't get angry easy. Not love. And it doesn't keep a record of all the mistakes people make. In fact, you know, I am very good at remembering most people's names, but if you do something wrong, I'll forget it. It doesn't stick with me. I don't remember. Now, I'll remember for a week or so, but then after that, it's like, did they do something? It's like, I don't want to remember. Because I know it's not part of the equation. So, love doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. We don't like wickedness. But love always, please say always, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. The faith church will fail. The prophecy church will fail. The mission-serving church will fail. The tongue-speaking church will fail. The doctrine, the right doctrine church will fail. But love never fails. I don't care what church you've come from or what church you still want to hold your credentials with. I'm glad you're part of the church of God, internationally, universally, the heavenly church of the redeemed. But you have to have one thing if you want to be part of the end time strong tower people. You've got to have this thing called love, because you have to watch out for the sheep. You've got to stand on the ramparts. You've got to welcome. You've got to shelter them. You've got to help train them. You've got to stand with them. And some people in this church are doing a real good job at it. Well done. So I want you to see yourself now as a strong tower. What's the key to being a strong tower? 1 Corinthians 13. That's how it gets practical with you. Now, if you're a grump in your house, hope is not lost. You're still breathing. If you are complaining all the time, even if you're right, you will not be happy. That is no way for you to live. It's better that the thing just doesn't get fixed than you live a grumpy existence. One day you will die, and people will know you as the grumpy one or the happy one. They will know you. In heaven, they're looking at you and wondering whether or not you are enjoying your life. And if you are critical, analytical, complaining, negative, always trying to fix other people, I think they're shaking their heads in heaven saying, what is wrong with that lady? What is wrong with that guy? They missed it. But if you'll be kind and patient, and if you will be long-suffering, and if you will endure and hope and rejoice in the truth, in other words, if you'll be a person who has love in their hearts for people wherever they are, you're going to be a happy person. If you can love, you'll be happy. You'll be so happy. You'll know that life's worth living. And more importantly than that, God will be able to put you into a place where he can use you for his eternal purpose. You'll become a strong tower. You'll take that young person under your wing. You'll help those other ones. You'll encourage your brother and your sister. Let this be a house of love, a house of encouragement, a house of kindness, a house where God can look to and say, I can send sheep there because they won't get beaten up because they're lame. So many sheep that are going to be coming in the door are lame sheep. They're exiled sheep. They're nervous. Now, you might not have too much experience with sheep, but maybe with a dog. You know what's happened to a dog that's been raised by a nasty master? You just say, how are you, dog? And the dog cowers and puts his tail between its legs and is all frightened at the human voice because the previous owner was too heavy-handed with their dog. Well, the sheep are like that. Oh, God, help us. Help us to be the church, to be the strong tower church that the people can run to because the name of the Lord is here, because the love of God is here, the care of God is here, the power of God is here. Let this place be a strong tower place so that the word will get out. They're the nicest people. They're the kindest people. They're the most forgiving people. They're the people who will cover you. They're the people who will give you another chance again and again and again and again and again. They're the people who will encourage me. I'm running there. That's what I need. And when the lame sheep and the exiled sheep come into this place, may they not be lame for long. May they be healed. In the place of the strong tower, and may they themselves become a strong tower and be used of the Lord. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And I want you to close your eyes. I usually don't ask people to close their eyes. But I want you to confess something before the Lord. And so I'm asking everybody to close their eyes so they're not looking around. If you realize that you need a whole lot more kindness in your life, you need more of the expressive love of God for people that you find difficult. If you need that, I want you to just lift your hand. I knew revival was coming. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Now I'm going to pray for all of you. I want you to put your hand on your heart. You say, Lord, forgive me. Can everybody say that? Lord, forgive me for my sin, for where I've missed it, for my harshness and my undue criticisms. Lord, I want to be like you. to love the unlovely, to be compassionate. I don't want to be the policeman. I want to be the pastor. I want to care for people, to shepherd your people. Make me a watchman of the flock. Put me on the watchtower now. Let me wrap my arms around the others who need it, to comfort, to shield, to shelter, to protect, to provide for, and to help train them. Lord, I dedicate myself to you for the work of the ministry. Enlarge my heart now with the oil of gladness, and let the love of God be spread abroad in my heart. I ask it in Jesus' name. Now just open your hands like this. I want to bless you now. In the name of Jesus, I speak the blessing of the Lord over your life, over your family, over your marriage, over your children and your grandchildren. I speak the blessing of the Lord over your community and over your neighbors. I speak the blessing of the Lord over the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart, that you might be extraordinary, filled with the love of God. And I release you to your assignments, to the call of prayer and intercession for the salvation and care for somebody this week. I speak the release of God's blessing on your life and the favor of God to rest upon you. I speak it in Jesus' name. Amen.